Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Baseball is a game that has bases. Which it was not always a given. Like early versions of the game, some of them didn't, or well, not versions of the game itself, but precursors to the game didn't all have bases. Sometimes it was just like a stick you'd run around or something out there. But eventually, somebody realized, well, if there's a place where people could be safe, so they can stay there, they have, you know, it changes the game and makes it better where they might actually be able to make it around, because the goal is for you to get home. You're supposed to get home, so you run to the base and you stay on the base, and as long as you're on the base, you're safe. Like a, you know, it's a base. Like a military base is a place where all the military people are. It's supposed to be, you know, the safe place. So we have a base, and you get to the base. On the base, you're safe. The trouble is sometimes you have to leave the base because the goal is not to stay on base; it's to get home. And so you run as fast as you can, and you hope that the other team is distracted by somebody else because their goal. See, you're surrounded when you're on base. You're safe, but you're surrounded by nine people who are trying to eliminate you. That's their goal. In baseball, it's that version of being dead. They want you gone. So you wait until it's a safe time to go from one base to the next base. Maybe they're looking at somebody else. They're distracted by what the other base runners are doing. They have to go retrieve the ball or something. You stay on the base. And then when nobody's looking, you run to the next one until you can score. That's the whole point. All right. So here's our psalm. The superscription says it's of David. So David is the poet, and David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So these words, salvation, stronghold, these are things that you need when your life is in danger. So salvation means someone actually saves your life. The light of God is always associated with good things, with truth, peace, the power of God. So the light of God is the antidote for whatever it is that is threatening the life of David. And because the light of God is there to save him, then what does he have to be afraid of? The Lord is my stronghold, my refuge, my base. He's where I am safe. So, given that, why would I be afraid of anybody? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. So his enemies are after him like he's prey, and they're predators. They want to eat up his flesh, but then in a kind of shocking turn, well, no, it's not him, it's they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. So I'm surrounded by people who want to take my life, but that's okay. I am not only not afraid, I am confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So I have one purpose. I've asked one thing, but there are kind of two subsets to that one thing, two purposes within the purpose. One is to just simply be in the presence of God, and then the other is to inquire, to search the will of God. So you just want to be where he is, and you want to listen to what he has to say. So I gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and I get to inquire in his temple. Maybe this is why this reading is paired with the Mary and Martha story. This is what Mary's doing, right? She's there with Jesus, listening to Jesus. Jesus says this is the one thing that she needed, right? So that's what David is after. He wants one thing, to be with God, to know the will of God. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. All right, so God is going to put David in a place where he can't be easily found or assaulted by the enemies. He will hide me in a shelter there. That shelter is the word for where lions live. So this could have been in his lair, his den or something. This is so when David is protected in this kind of shelter, if the enemies show up, they meet a lion. Right. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. So I'm hidden, I'm protected by God, who is on my side. He is protecting me from enemies who want to take my life, but within his tent, when I'm in there, in the lair with God, well then it's just sacrifices with shouts of joy. This is joyful with singing. I'm going to make melody to the Lord. Everything's changed. Inside the lair is a totally different situation than were I not in the lair. This is nothing but happiness and peace and joy and singing. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. And so we've had to start out with several verses, just sort of reflection on who God is, what he does, the situation that David is in, and the help for him that God is. But now we shift to a prayer. And he basically is going to pray that all the things that he's been meditating on up to this point will be true, that God will be what he thinks God is for him. I think the only way to take "for my father and my mother have forsaken me" I think this is a rhetorical device. I'm not sure that we're supposed to think that literally happened. I think maybe he's saying, even if my father and my mother were to forsake me, even if the people who brought me into this world, I've crossed some sort of line that causes them to not even want to be around me anymore, that's exactly where the grace of God picks up, because I'm not going to go too far for him. He still will take me in, even if my parents won't. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. All right, teach me your way. That's what he's wanted before. He wants to inquire of the Lord in his temple. And lead me on a level path. Take me the way that I'm supposed to go, on a good straight road, because if I stumble, if I make a mistake, my adversaries are there waiting. They're breathing out violence. They're just waiting for the opportunity to take me out. But I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. So it's absolute, utter confession of faith here. Trust in the Lord. The enemies are out to get him if he makes a false step. But still, in spite of his surroundings and circumstances, he believes very firmly that he will make it to the land of the living. He will get home. He will be where the Lord intends him to be. And the Lord is worth waiting for. You know, when things don't look like what's going on is supposed to be going on, when maybe it doesn't seem as though God is being who he expects God to be, God is still worth the wait. So he will be strong and courageous and wait for the Lord to reveal himself and do what David expects him to do. Okay, so there's the text. Well, what are we supposed to take away from it? A few things, I think. One is recognize our surroundings. I mean, we're in this existence built to be the kind of people who need to seek refuge. So God calls us to live a kind of life in this world that we can count on being resisted. So one thing would be examine yourself and ask if you're seeking refuge in the same place that David is seeking refuge. I mean, where do you look for life, light, salvation? Is it in the presence of God, His will, or is it in something else that you have put in His place? And be honest. There's another thing. To be honest about what the world is like that surrounds us and the need for refuge. Why is refuge even an important thing? Well, you know, because everything is not the way that it's supposed to be. There actually is danger. So if you don't think that you need what God is offering here, what David is asking for here, you think you're so strong and you don't need to look for God's protection, then you're either not being honest about yourself and your own capacities, or you're not being honest about the nature of the world, or maybe both. So my suggestion would be look again. And next, having recognized the need for sanctuary, for refuge in this life, embrace it. So, you know, being here, this is one way to do that. Being here, that's what you're doing right now, is part of it, being in the presence of God, seeking to learn His Word and His will. I mean, you know, being to a Lutheran guy, being in the presence of God and learning His will sounds a lot like Word and Sacrament, just in reverse order. That's right. You know, you come here like the 12-year-old Jesus inquiring in the temple where His Father lives, and He's asking questions, like we said, Mary at Jesus' feet, both listening to Him, simply being with Him. So this hour every week is designed to give you exactly that, but that shouldn't be all. This shouldn't be the only time during the week when you seek refuge. You look at verse 6. I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. So this is something that needs to happen outside of this building too. If you fill your home with the Word of God and with sacrificial love, music, singing hymns to God, your home will be joyful. God will turn it into His lair. It doesn't mean it will always just be peace and happiness constantly, but God does give you joy because He will be there. He'll do that. And this is important for everybody, but I'm pretty convinced it's absolutely critical if you have children living in your home. See, I don't think that kids can live under the pressure of the world in 2022 without having a sanctuary someplace. A lair to come home to where they have no doubt that they can find safety and joy. I'm convinced that, you know, the reason we're seeing so much trouble now, kids shooting each other, having problems with anxiety, young people who are aimless, cynical, headed for nihilism, it looks to me like, is it a lot of them, not all, there are exceptions and things just go wrong, not every time. But a lot of them just didn't have a sanctuary that they knew they could count on. No matter what happened at school, or no matter how many times they struck out in their ball game, they failed a test, somebody hurt their feelings, they knew they could go home to a household that was built on this rock where they were protected and free to just joyfully be themselves. Fill your house with the Word of God and prayers and hymns, and God will come there and make it His lair. It's a very powerful thing. One of my favorite subjects to talk about is Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson is one of the best baseball players to ever play, and one of the funnest personalities to pay attention to. I think, I don't know if you want to say arrogant, cocky, maybe flamboyant. He played when I was a kid and played for a long time. I like when we're shaking hands out there, I'll tell you a bunch of all my Ricky Henderson stories. But the one that is relevant for right now is Ricky Henderson broke the all-time career stolen base record. I think Lou Brock had the record for like 25 or 30 years. He stole 900 something bases, and then Ricky Henderson broke the record. And Ricky arranged for there to be a celebration during the game. So Lou Brock was there at the game, in the stands. He knew that this was coming. So he's sitting in the front row there, and Ricky steals the base, jumps up, pulls the base out of the ground, holds it over his head, and kept it. And then he had somebody waiting to give him a microphone. Ricky takes the microphone with Lou Brock there, and he says, "I am the greatest of all time." He's got this kind of, like, a swagger that you can't just fake or copy. Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and he has ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, making you his temple. He's with you all the time. When you come up here and you eat and drink his body and blood, then he leaves here with you. You meditate on his word. You memorize it. You sing it. Let it dwell in you richly, like St. Paul says. It's like you're digging up the base and carrying it with you. You don't get to do that according to the regular rules. You got to take a risk. You got to put yourself out there and know that you're unprotected where the enemies are trying to eliminate you. Jesus doesn't make you do that in his system. You get to dig up the base and take it with you. Trust in him to be your refuge all the time. Trust his will to be the right way, the path you should follow, even through the midst of those who resist his will. The ones who want you to fail, who don't want you to follow his straight path in a crooked world. Trust him. Do it anyway. Wait for him. And on his time, he will show you that you've chosen the one thing needful. You've chosen the good portion, the beauty of the Lord and his will. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.